kolejne.
Huge privilege. It is a huge
privileged to stand there and just pray with people and let the Holy Spirit do all the work, and you get to see transformation in people. There were people who went into that residential who were really caught up in stuff, and there was so much going on inside their heads that God had been doing, and then there was opportunity for people to bring that to the Lord, and the transformation that happens is just, it is incredible. It really is. That is just one highlight of being part of a group of people who are just all seeking to grow deeper in God. So I just wanted to put that out there. I know that DNA, the course, isn't for everybody, but they do offer other things like the mentoring, like the Marks Possible. And it might be a case that this year, sometime in the future, there might be a group of people from this church who would actually really like to go, yeah, we'd quite like to spend a year in Marks Possible. Or, yeah, actually, we would quite like to do a year with DNA. So, yeah, please do pray about it. And do come to chat with me if you're like thinking, I would really quite like to just do something like this, or how would that look for me? So as well, if you do know anyone as well, if anybody springs to mind who's 18 plus, please do chat with me about it. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to read from Matthew 21, 1 to 11. I'm reading from the NLT. I think Tony will bring it up. There you go. Okay, so it says this. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there, with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let them take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Israel, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the ground ahead, the road ahead of him. And others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Jesus is in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Bring blessings of the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. The entire city was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Does anybody know what Hosanna means? Shout out to me.
Do you like help us?
Yeah. So save, help. Essentially means please save us, deliver us. I think in our culture, Hosanna can sometimes come across as a praise, a shout of praise, and it is, but it is more, is a prayer, a plea to God to save us. The people who welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem, they were saying that they recognised Jesus as the Messiah and the one to save them and deliver them. In their minds was quite difficult, different, because they, a lot of them were going, please save us from the Romans. Jesus did save them, but it was in a very, very different way than expected. I just want to read from the Amplified Version, verse 10, which, because I love it, how it's put. It says, when he entered Jerusalem, all the city was trembling with excitement, saying, who is this? And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. The whole city was trembling. I love that. The people who welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem recognised him as Messiah, but there was confusion already happening in Jerusalem. This was a time of Passover, so anybody who's a Jew would be in Jerusalem. It was busy. There wasn't just Jews, there were a whole load of people there who weren't Jews, who were Gentiles, who were converted. So this place was buzzing, and all the religious leaders were there as well. There were people there who had seen Jesus before, who had seen what he'd done, and there were people who never heard of him before. There was a huge amount of confusion and excitement going on. And Palm Sunday is about welcoming Jesus, and it's about recognising that he is a saviour and pleasing with him to save us. And although it is Palm Sunday today, I'm not going to focus too much on Palm Sunday today, but actually look and focus more at the in-between bit, the bit that is called Holy Week, the bit that I think we and a lot of Christians in our culture, except maybe some Catholic traditions or some Anglican traditions, struggle with. We don't journey this week that well, and it can get a bit lost and forgotten, and we find it difficult to stop and take stock of actually what's happening and to live that journey out with the disciples and Jesus from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. So today we're just going to have a really brief look at Jesus and his disciples and how Jesus discipled them and how he prepared them for this Holy Week and what that might mean for us today. Discipleship is a huge topic, only going to scratch a tiny bit of the surface. I just want to look at what happened briefly prior to Palm Sunday. So as we know, good part, 3 years, Jesus is touring the region of Israel, Samaria, Judea, and he's proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near. But he hasn't been alone. He's been calling people to follow him, who he calls disciples. Does anybody know what disciple, being a disciple means, or a word that will describe a disciple? Follower. I'm going to throw a Greek word at you.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So, mathetes, means discipler in Greek. It means student, learner, like you say, follower, somebody who we can imitate. To be a disciple was nothing new in Jesus' time. Essentially means to be a student. Many religious leaders of the law had disciples. John the Baptizer had disciples. Many people in that time were claiming to be Messiah, so they also had disciples. It was not a new concept, and it was not solely tied to Jesus. Mm-hmm. One of my favourite sayings of the Hebrew culture is to be a disciple or a learner of a teacher, which is rabbi, was to walk in the dust of, meaning to walk so close to them that you get covered in their dust. Mm-hmm. Meaning you want to be so close to them, you don't miss anything, and that you follow and imitate every movement. And I think if we're not careful today, we can become disciples and followers of other things and people aside from Jesus as Christians. We can walk in the dust of them, and some things are, you know, quite obvious, like sports teams, football is a great example. If you're not careful, we can become followers, disciples of football, that football team you love. I just recently actually read a story, a lovely story, of a football hooligan who became a Christian, but he before was essentially a disciple of his football team, of the violence that came with that football team. But he gave his life to Jesus and became a disciple of Jesus. We can become disciples of magicians that we love, and politicians, Christian leaders. Interesting, we can end up maybe following a Christian leader more than actually following Jesus. You know, anything above Christ is an idol, and I think it is really important that every now and again we examine our hearts and ask, is there anything above Christ? Pete Gilbert, who you saw on the video, DNA video, says of discipleship, "Discipleship isn't an optional extra, it's an essential requirement of the kingdom of God." So, we're going to look at a few key moments where Jesus discipled and prepared his disciples and the people all around before Palm Sunday, and for what God was about to do. Tony, I'm going to give you a couple minutes warning for the video. Thank you. So the first thing is that Jesus prepared and prepared by fulfilling. So he came as a fulfillment of prophecies. Through his birth was a fulfillment of a prophecy. And Jesus, the second thing is Jesus prepared others by declaring so people could hear and understand. John the Baptist declared who Jesus was when he got baptized, and that was the fulfillment of a prophecy. After Jesus' baptism and temptation, Matthew 4:17 tells us, "From then on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" Jesus was preparing others by declaring. The third thing is Jesus was preparing others and discipling them by teaching so people could learn. Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, where you get the upside down world of the blessed are those who are poor in spirit, persecuted, etc. Jesus teaches about you being salt and light. He teaches about anger, money, lust, revenge, giving, fasting, praying. He teaches about the law as well. Verse 17 says, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." Again, that's a fulfillment. Jesus prepared others by his teaching. Jesus prepared and discipled by showing so people could see. There are so many, the scriptures, the gospels are full of miracles, and I'm sure you can think of some. I've just got a few here, which is where Jesus prepares the disciples and those around who are following him what is to come and who he is. Matthew 8:23, Jesus calms the storm. Jesus shows that he has authority over winds, the elements, he has authority over them. Matthew 8:28, the healing of the possessed man, which I think we struggle with a lot today with this scripture, where Jesus sends the demons into a pig. Jesus has authority over demons, over the spiritual. The rising of Lazarus from the dead. Jesus has authority over life and death. The feeding of the 5,000. Jesus shows that he has authority over the practical needs. John 4:46-54. This is a really lovely story of where Jesus heals a government official's son. This man, as far as we are aware, was a Roman official. He was not a Jew. But from this, this man and his whole household came to follow Jesus. Jesus was preparing the way. Luke 9:28, Transfiguration, where law, prophet, and fulfillment all stand in one place. So we're going to watch a clip now. It is a long clip, it's 10 minutes long. I thought, oh, I might just shorten it. I didn't want to, because I think it's really great. This clip is from The Chosen, and if you haven't watched The Chosen, I do recommend it. It's a Christian called TV series. We've got two seasons out. It's based on scripture, but there's a lot of creative license going on. So it's not, it is not scripture, but it's based on scripture. So it has scripture in it, but they've padded it out with stories, if you like. And I love this clip because I just wanted to show it because there's so much human emotions going on. There's anger, the confusion, love, amazement, there's questions, there's excitement, there's pride, there's disbelief and compassion. And the actor who actually plays Jesus, I think he really portrays Jesus' compassion really, really well in this. So we're going to watch the clip. Thank you, Tony.
Can I just handle? What's that? Let me tell you a story.
Excuse me. Please.
This is Jesus of Nazareth. Standing by.
Goes inside to the temple. He prays this prayer. Can you hear me?
Yes.
There you go.
Please, we need to see Jesus.
There's small room up there.
He's pillar and the wall down, we can't stand.
There is definitely no room there.
Simon, he deserves to hear Jesus as much as anyone else.
Okay. I'm so glad they found you. My friends, you're here.
Why do you need to get closer?
I saw what their master did to the leper. I know what I saw.
We're trying to keep that under wraps. For now, look at this crowd. Imagine what we'll be
doing. Please, please, help me get my friends, okay?
Who's that company?
I'm talking.
Come on. Come on.
This is a peaceful gathering.
That's what the Maccabees said. They're blocking the road.
I don't think. They haven't been told where to stand.
Finally, he said to me, even though I don't feel well,
because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she does not wear me out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Where are your parents?
I see, okay. Okay, well, the man speaking is called...
Jesus of Nazareth.
We are him.
How much more would he clothe all of you?
Excuse me.
Quiet. I'm trying to listen.
Wait. Do you know who you are talking to?
Did you hear his disrespect?
It's the recorder.
Teaching. Look at this crowd.
All alone. Seem to be cautious.
Rabbi. It's her. She is truly restored. I only heard you report that scene for myself. She's a different person.
Why is she here?
Cannot be here. And if it were nighttime, Zebedee wouldn't light his lamp and put it under a basket. Put it on the stand where it could light us all.
Jesus of Nazareth!
I saw what you did to the leper on the road this morning. My friend has been paralyzed since childhood. He has no hope but you. Please, do for him what you did for the leper.
That's our road!
Put it back, man!
You are willing, Rabbi. I know you can do this.
Sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk. It's easy to say anything, no? But to show you, and so that you may know, that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins.
that Jesus talks about what is to come in the future. Jesus gets asked questions by the religious leaders so much more. Taxes, greatest commandment, the resurrection of the dead. Jesus continues to teach and proclaim. Jesus continues to show them, and ultimately Jesus shows them and the world the immense power and conviction of love that God has for the world, and to make way for an intimate heart relationship with people and true salvation for people through the cross. That's the ultimate way how Jesus shows. But before that, there are two other significant ways Jesus shows his purpose and prepares the disciples. Please do read it, John 13, beautiful, beautiful piece of scripture where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Let me just read a little bit of that. It says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and returned to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. And it says in verse 14, and since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. He was teaching the disciples to serve others. Matthew 6:26-20 is the other one, the Last Supper. Jesus teaches that he is the bread, and that he is the wine. He is the bread that was broken. That's his body. He is the wine, the blood that is spilled. He is the lamb that they're celebrating. So I'm just going to finish up by just chatting a little bit about what being a disciple of Jesus is and is not. And then we'll have just a quiet time for responding through a song. I'll let you decide which one. So being a disciple of Jesus is not. It's not blindly following. It's but choosing to follow Jesus. We have the choice. It's not about me, and it's not about you, it's not about your own dreams and aspirations. Being a disciple of Jesus isn't about consuming loads of stuff, but it's about Jesus and his kingdom. It's not passive, it's not about sitting and forever receiving. Again, it's not about consumerism. Yes, there is listening, there is receiving, there is learning, but the doing is the other part. It's not just calling yourself a Christian or going to church. It's being part of an active church body. You can go to church and call yourself a Christian, but it doesn't necessarily make you a disciple of Jesus. We are called to choose Jesus first in our hearts and to participate with God in bringing his purposes here. It's not signing yourself up to loads of rules. It's about releasing us from the law and from death into God's goodness. Being a disciple of Jesus is intentional and intensive at times. It's personal and collective. It's joy-filled, active, and full of hope. To be a disciple of Jesus is to be in relationship with God. It's to learn, lean on, and rely on Jesus. It means to obey and live according to the teachings, to serve and to worship God. It's at times hard and costly, but releases us into our full potential, being forgiven and being accepted into God's family. being a disciple of Jesus is living lives full of compassion and love and growing and flourishing in God's goodness. To be a disciple of Jesus is to learn from him and follow him by walking close to him. And Palm Sunday is welcoming Jesus. That's such a good place to start to welcome Jesus as a body and as individuals. So I just want to challenge you from all of this through this week, which we call Holy Week, to prayerfully consider and commit once again afresh our own answers to Jesus and what that means to follow him. Palm Sunday is such a good place to start and calling out his hands to God to save us and deliver us. So I really want to challenge you this week to dive into some scripture, spend a bit of time each day, read Jesus going into Jerusalem and what comes next. Read the part where John, in John where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Journey with the disciples. Put yourself in there. Dive into the events and just live them out for this week. Let Jesus teach you, showing you who he is and the love that he has for you. Don't rush through the tough bits like we like to do, the difficult parts, the muck and mire, the grief and the pain that is all there, but to learn to lament on them and let the Holy Spirit teach you and prepare you for what is to come. We need to understand not only the resurrection of Christ, but also to know and understand the death of Christ. So this week, let's travel with Jesus and welcome him because he calls us to walk with him. I also recommend, if you haven't downloaded it, I do recommend, and I always will say this, I do app Lecto 365. This week they will be journeying that, so if you're unsure how to actually really do it or you struggle to sit down and concentrate, the app Lecto 365 is a really good place to start. Luke 9:43 says, and they were all amazed at the greatness of God. So my prayer for this week is that we will be amazed by the greatness of God once again. Mm-hmm.